We've been waiting for the White House to announce its national cybersecurity strategy, and that's just what it did last week. So how will that strategy change things? Will it make you safer and more secure? Or is it just more Washington political banter? I'm not going to get political, but I am going to make you smarter. Now listen up. Everyone, welcome to the third installment of the Cybersecurity Bradcast. I'm Brad Gross, your host, and attorneys to companies in the technology and cybersecurity industries nationwide. Now, on this episode, we're diving right into the National Cybersecurity Strategy that was just released last week by the White House to tell you what you need to know. And I'm going to give you some insight about where our nation's cybersecurity policies and potential regulations are headed. Before I begin, I want to give a special shout out and thank you to Wes Spencer, CISO, VP of Fifth Wall, and the general dictator of all things that involve cybersecurity. I was on his Empath Cyber webcast last week, talking about cybersecurity strategy, the government, and other sordid things. And if you don't follow Wes, then you need to stop listening to this right now and subscribe to whatever he's putting out there in the market. Then come on back, continue where you left off. Under the category of upcoming things, I'll be speaking in Scottsdale, Arizona this week for the ASCII group. We'll be focusing on customer-facing agreements, how to write them, how to negotiate them, how to make sure you're protected. I'm also appearing, actually later today, on Bob Kopich's podcast, BizTech Twists, where Bob and I will talk about, well, actually, just about everything and anything that pops into his head that concerns legal liabilities, avoiding liability, best practices, and so on. So if you haven't heard Bob, find his podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, YouTube. It's called Biz-Tech Twists. Not, you know, the word hyphen, but an actual hyphen. Biz-Tech Twists. And his last name has that silent D in it, spelled COPPEDGE. So tune in. He is one of the great thinkers in this industry and has a sarcastic edge that will keep you on your feet for sure. Okay, so let's get back to what we're talking about. The Cybersecurity Strategy Report. First, let me tell you what it's about. Periodically, presidents and their staff, usually mostly their staff, issue policy reports that are intended to tell U.S. citizens where the administration wants to go with things. You know, we're sitting in our homes wondering, I wonder what the president will do about this thing or this policy. Now, you can watch press conferences all you want, but those don't focus on one particular topic of national interest. Those are all over the board with reporters asking questions ranging from insightful to, well, stupid. But, you know, that doesn't give you any guidance. But policy reports do. And for almost a year, we've been told that the Biden administration was going to tell us what it's done so far with regard to cybersecurity and where it wants to go in the future. Last week, Biden released a cybersecurity strategy report. And, you know, for us in the cybersecurity industry, that was like pouring liquid sugar on an anthill. Everyone in the cybersecurity service industry has been reading and analyzing, and in some cases, moaning and groaning about what the report says and what it doesn't say. So, what does it say? I'm going to hit some highlights now, and then we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty stuff that I think will directly impact companies across the country. First highlight. The report acknowledges cybersecurity requires a collaboration between the public and private sectors. It cannot be done without pressure and commitment from the government and from the corporate sector. That's the only way to do it. Public and private sectors working together. I'm going to talk more about that in a little while. Highlight number two. The report points out a problem that is endemic to the software industry. We layer new functionality and technology onto existing brittle systems at the expense of security and resilience. That's actually a line right from the report. We layer new functionality and technology onto existing brittle systems at the expense of security and resilience. Now, put simply, we're just adding floors onto houses that have seriously cracked foundations. That's what he's saying. That's what the report says. And that has to stop. Highlight number three. The report says that China is the most active and persistent threat to the government and private sectors, and that China has both the intent to reshape the international order, and also it has the economic and technological power to try to do so. So, in this podcast, I'm not going to get into international relations, but I will say that, you know, moving on, hackers that are portrayed in movies will probably start to have Asian and not Russian accents. Let's watch. Highlight 4. The report acknowledges that a single person's momentary lapse in judgment, use of an outdated password, or some sort of errant click on a suspicious link should not have national security consequences. I mean, I think we can agree with that, right? A momentary lapse in judgment or use of a stupid or outdated password, it shouldn't jeopardize the country's security. People make mistakes, and we can't continue to go down the path where a single mistake could have national security consequences. How do we fix that? Hang on. Highlight 5. The report calls out data solution providers specifically and says that the owners and operators of the systems that hold our data, as well as the technology providers that build and service those systems, must be responsible for protecting the data they obtain. I'm going to repeat that. The report said, owners and operators of the systems that hold our data, as well as the technology providers that build and service those systems, must be responsible for protecting the data they obtain. Well, we're finally hearing this from the government, because the private sector pundits have been saying this for years. Look, I remember hearing Arnie Bellini, former CEO and owner of ConnectWise, tell an audience of thousands of people at least 7 years ago, it might have been longer, that if you're in the MSP industry, then you're in the security business. And he was right. He was right then. He was right. He was correct today. He was exactly on point. And now the government is saying the same thing. I say, Bellini for president. Arnie, if you want me to help you out with that, call me. All right. Highlight 6. The government must make, and is apparently making, its own systems far more resilient to cyber attacks. It's requiring federal agencies to share information about cyber attacks with other federal agencies because communication has been a very, very serious problem over the years. I mean, I saw it when I was a prosecutor. Agencies did not, and they still don't, communicate with each other. And as a result, one agency might have a lot of information while another agency might have virtually none. Now, agencies have to share information and work together to defend the country's infrastructure against cyber attack. And that's a good thing. It's going to make investigating cyber attacks and cyber crimes far more efficient, far more effective. So, those are the highlights of the report. Now keep in mind, those highlights are buried in dozens of pages of statute references and a good deal of self-congratulatory accolades, but I'll tell you, I think that each highlighted point was on target. How we fix the problems? Well, let's see what the report says about that. So, if you're playing along or reading the report for yourself, one of the first things that might make you go, is on page 12. On page 12, the report says that regulation can level the playing field, enabling healthy competition without sacrificing cybersecurity or operational resilience. Think about that. Regulation can level the playing field. It also says that cybersecurity should be tailored for each sector's risk profile, harmonized to reduce duplication, be complementary to public-private collaboration, there's that public-private thing again, and be cognizant of the cost of implementation. That's a lot of words. And you know what it means? It means, hey, there should be regulation, and the regulation should be designed to meet the needs of whatever industry is being affected. So let's pause for a moment. Regulation. You know, just a few days before the report came out, Jen Easterly, the head of CISA, made some media-worthy comments in which she said that the law should change so that software companies shouldn't be able to disclaim liability by contract. What she meant was a company shouldn't be able to disclaim liability in an end-user license agreement. You know, those things that you click right through and never read, but they're enforceable nonetheless. Now, here comes Biden saying that there ought to be regulation to regulate the cybersecurity and data solution industries. Know what I think? I think the government is blowing the dog whistle to tell legislatures that they need to come up with laws that set up minimum standards of cybersecurity and industry eligibility. I hear the whistle. I hear it loud and clear. But you know who doesn't hear that whistle? You know who won't hear that whistle? Ironically, the people who can't hear it are the very same people to whom the whistle was directed. Congress. I don't believe that Congress is going to do a damn thing anytime in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years about regulating industries in the cybersecurity area. Remember I said it. I don't believe that Congress is going to do anything that Easterly or the report were clamoring for. Here's a list of what Congress will not do. First, it won't prevent companies from disclaiming liability by putting disclaimers and waivers and limitations in end-user license agreements. Those, again, those EULAs, those things that you sort of just click, I agree and accept. It's not going to stop companies from disclaiming liability. You know why? Because it's too hard. It would involve Congress getting involved in contract law. And you know what? I don't think that collectively Congress has the mental aptitude to do it or the motivation. Second thing, it won't require companies that hold or store data to take any additional security steps than they're already required to do, which, by the way, means that companies have to continue to act reasonably in light of the type of information they hold, the value of that information, and the cost to implement the latest and greatest security solutions. They have to act reasonably. I'm not talking about contractors that contract directly with the government. They have different standards. I'm just talking about your solution providers that work with consumers, that work with MSPs. I don't think they're going to be required to take any additional security steps. Now, I know we have HIPAA, and that will continue, and companies that need SOX compliance, that will continue to, you know, help them bolster their security processes. But that's where things are going to stay for a while. They're going to stay right where they are right now for at least another 3 to 5 years. Also, Congress will not push companies that favor money over security. It's sad but true. I agree with the Biden report that solution providers are building new software platforms on top of old, unsecure, unstable foundations. I agree with the report that companies are doing that because it's a battle. It's a battle between getting defective software released to the public quickly so companies can make money versus doing the right thing and building security into solutions, which takes time and costs money. And money has been winning that battle and will continue to win that battle. So, that's the report. Those are the highlights. That's what I think the report says. The report points out problems. It hints at potential solutions by being tangentially specific at times. And it hints at the real and maybe only solution that will work. You know what that is? I mentioned it earlier. A public-private collaboration. A collaboration like a self-regulated organization, also called an SRO. An SRO is a private organization that makes industry rules. Members of the SRO agree to follow those rules, or they could face punishment like fines that are enforced by contract. They could be suspended from the group. They could even be expelled from the group. And the role that the government plays is that the government either incentivizes companies to join the SRO or requires companies to be certified by the SRO before they can engage in certain activities. So you want an example? A pretty good example. Let's look at the Florida Bar. It's an association that started out entirely private. A bunch of lawyers got together long time ago to create standards for lawyers in Florida. And now it works with the Florida Supreme Court to ensure that only licensed attorneys practice in Florida. If you want to practice in Florida, you have to be admitted to the Florida Bar. If you're not a member and you practice here, you could be hit with civil and criminal penalties. That's an SRO. Public-private. Government working together with private. Private and public collaboration. Want another example? CompTIA's Trust Mart. It's a certification. It's offered by CompTIA to CompTIA members who meet certain minimum requirements in the industry. Now, if you meet those requirements, you get to display the mark. Customers see that mark, and then they know they can trust your company for whatever the mark signifies. The new cybersecurity trust mark is under development, and when that's released, software companies, I am sure, will want to join the trust mark. And perhaps in the future, governments will treat that mark, that trust mark, as the minimum standards that solution providers need to have to fulfill services or to provide services in their jurisdiction. That would be an SRO. CompTIA comes out with the mark. The government steps in and says, you want to practice in this area? You want to provide cybersecurity solutions? We want to make sure you've hit at least the trust mark standards. That's an SRO. That's how SROs work, and I think that that is the only viable solution to achieving the goals outlined in the Biden Cybersecurity Strategy Report. Incentivize. Create public pressure on companies that are bolstered by regulation. That's what needs to happen. Okay, so that's my take on the Cybersecurity Report. Questions, comments? Let me know. info@bradleygross.com or call 954-217-6225. I will see you on the next Cybersecurity Bradcast.